Sports Radio 94 WIP. Tom Kelly in for Joe DeCamera today. This is the morning show. And this is great. Just talking during the break. John Runyon has now sent you, John, a picture of Junior Seau just lighting you up. I love this, that John
Runyon,
this big high-up executive in the NFL, is spending his morning listening to our show and mocking you. It's just awesome stuff.
I guess you're right. Yeah. And it's, oh man, it really is. It's a life-size, mural-sized, action shot.
So and this is at so the Chargers facility? What's he doing out there today?
This is at NFL headquarters. This is at NFL.
Why is that picture hanging up at NFL headquarters?
That's pretty funny.
I'm not sure.
It's so weird.
I'm not sure if this was. I don't know what in the world it's not at. Where is this not posted? What book is this not on? Again, it was on the cover of the San Diego phone book. So millions and millions of homes. Who knows? I mean, and then phone books kind of stopped. Like, those phone books are probably still being used in some places. And
that's
now
great.
This thing, it's at NFL Films. Who knows? It's probably at NFL headquarters. It's just everywhere. It's a huge hit. And as I said, I was not able to chew food properly for at least a month after this.
Really?
He got me. He got like my jaw.
Right in
the
jaw.
It was one of those things. I don't know why. Just a weird thing. That's the only time I ever had a hit where my jaw was that sore. But,
how about that? Crazy stuff. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, a few things wanted to mention real quick here. As you heard Rhea in the update mentioned earlier, unfortunate news today is Brian Braman, former Eagle, was on the 2017 championship team.
Great special teams player.
Passed away today. Yeah, great special teams player. And if you hear anybody on that team talk about it, apparently an epic pregame speech before Super Bowl 52.
He was a really interesting character and had an amazing story. I believe when he was in high school, he was homeless. And, but he had coaches who helped get him to college and then to the Texans to watch his tape. And was beloved by his teammates.
Yeah, and I think it was Chris Long who talked about it on his podcast and just talked about, this epic speech that Brian Braman had. So, thoughts and prayers to his family as he unfortunately passed this morning. And another piece of NFL news, did want to mention Von Miller late last night. He signs a one-year deal with the Washington Commanders.
So they got a lot of older players there.
I'll tell you what, the Commanders, they're feeling a little... like a little, not dream team-ish necessarily, but they bring in Debo, they bring in Von Miller. They have this Terry McLaurin contract situation, which does not seem like it's in a good place right now.
How do you not pay that guy?
Yeah, and I think this is just
what happens.
I think Daniels is great, but I don't know, man. It's a lot of success really quickly. A lot of times when teams have years like that, they take a step back the next year.
Oh, I think that he will have some games where teams get the better of him because that's just what happens. But he's precocious. I mean, he's so far ahead of schedule. He's going to be good. He's going to be impressive, but there will be times that teams get inside his head. There will be times that teams see what he struggled with a little bit and try to capitalize and build upon that and have success.
Is it crazy to think the Cowboys might be the bigger threat to the Eagles in the East this year?
I cannot imagine that would be the case. I do not think it's going to be that way, but the Cowboys will have talent. If they can get it all signed up to these really.
They got a lot of issues.
Overblown
down there.
Contracts.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
They got great receivers, but they're both a handful.
And they
with
just.
A new coaching staff.
And this Parsons thing, they still haven't found a resolution to this with Micah Parsons. So.
Well, that's it. The cap hit they're taking for their quarterback is insane.
What is that, 50
it's
million?
It's a nonstop. Yeah. Just. They do contracts the wrong way. And. Well, I'm glad. We should thank our lucky stars that, they're so foolish with the way they handle things.
Yeah. I know everybody thinks the Giants are going to stink. They're not going to stink on the defensive, especially on the defensive front.
Yeah, I just, I, mean, I have no clue.
Offensively they're not, but I mean they're going to be a handful defensively.
I just have no clue what they're doing with the quarter. Like, why would you sign Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, and draft a quarterback in the first round? It makes absolutely no sense. But real quickly before we get back to the phones, I did want to we'll put a bow on this Joel Embiid thing with. You know, my overall takeaway from this is that this kind of relationship is over. And this was really what made me feel that way. And this is kind of how the piece ended here. But they talk about Embiid and how things are going to look moving forward with his injury. And he says, we're not going to push anything. For my whole career, I felt like we never took that approach. We don't have a timeline, hopefully sooner rather than later. Then he was asked if the organization supports his new approach. He said, I don't know how they feel. The only thing I'd say is this is a business. It's all about results. If I come back early and I'm not myself, guess what? You're not winning any games. So I would say not an encouraging sign. The middle of July, he says, I don't know how they feel about my injury. Feels like everybody's really on the same page here.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that bodes well.
Yeah. So Daryl Morey, you know, even though he tells us Joel's on track, according to Joel, you know, he hasn't been in very much communication with the team. So doesn't seem to be headed down a great path.
But this article tells us that he is gearing up to make this like the charge of the second half of his career.
Yeah, okay.
We've heard that before. And he's still not even been cleared for full on-court basketball activities.
I'm not buying it. I hope it does work out, but I'm not buying it. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Cowboy Jim. What's up, Jim?
If Dak stays healthy, the Commanders are old, the Giants stink, and the Eagles have a tough schedule, the Cowboys win the East, hands down.
You have a chance for second place, Jim. I mean, they have a chance for second place. They're not competing with the Eagles.
What, after your schedule? You'll be destroyed by the middle of the season with that schedule. There's no way.
Jim, they basically play all the same teams.
Yeah, you have a bad schedule too, man.
The Eagles have like two different opponents than the Cowboys.
We have a bad schedule for like four weeks in a row, and that's about it. We'll be fine. Listen, TK, you are a workhorse. You are. You are working every day, almost every show. Pretty soon you're going to be working all three shows in a row. You'll be crying like Richie does pretty soon.
Well, I was crying early on in the show. My contact lens was messing with me.
He was bawling.
Actually, I was really just upset that John wasn't rallying behind Joe. That was why I was
talkative, Tom. And I'm a little bit intimidated by the way he's getting after it.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah.
Thanks, John. And thanks, John, for that Cowboys story earlier. It got my day started off to a really good start. And
we ended up winning that game, though.
There you go, John.
Eric Turner with a last-second interception. Eric Turner, rest his soul. Rest in peace.
I had forgotten, but I love seeing you fall on your face. That was hilarious.
That's mean, Jim.
Yeah, it looked ugly.
What do you got for our side topic, Jim?
Listen, multi-talented, three-time Hall of Fame quarterback, Troy Aikman, best play-by-play on TV. And by the way, Tony Romo was a close second, so someday it'll be an
oh, my gosh.
Wow. Oh, wait, I think Tony just choked again.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Oh, I can't believe
Too bad he doesn't do play-by-play, which is what he said.
Yeah, he's a color commentator.
Who's awful. He might be the worst color commentator I've ever heard in my entire life.
Romo, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I like Aikman.
Aikman's good. I meant Romo.
Aikman's overly critical of the Cowboys. Like, he almost can't stand them on the air.
Yeah.
He does get after them.
I miss Aikman and Buck. Like, I like them on Monday Night Football, but I miss them at
Sunday 4:25. Yeah.
Yeah. But definitely an upgrade over Monday Night Football, because the Monday Night Football broadcast has gotten awful there for a little bit of a time period.
Wow.
So.
You're a harsh judge.
I am. I mean, were you watching Monday Night Football when, like, Sean McDonough was calling it? Brian Greasy?
I mean, I went to school with Brian.
Brian Greasy. Oh.
I went to college with Brian Guy.
Well, he wasn't a very good commentator.
Yeah, I went to Michigan with Brian. He was a walk-on when he first got there.
Really?
He was, like, our sixth-string quarterback, maybe even seventh, and worked his way up to co-national champion as a fifth-year senior.
Did you play with Brady at Michigan at all?
No. He got there in August of 95. I transferred out in January of 95.
Okay. And now he's the Greasy's what? The quarterback's coach with San Fran?
I think so.
Yeah.
When last I checked, yeah. which says a lot. I mean, the guy's pretty smart.
Did it help? I mean, you said he was a walk-on at Michigan. Did it help, like, because of who his dad was?
I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm just assuming, but yeah. I mean, you know, even to get a walk-on, I mean, his dad was pretty famous.
Yeah, definitely. That's got to be a check mark in your favor for sure. But now,
I don't know if people realize that, because he ended up working his way up to being the quarterback of the team that was in 1997
national championship,
by a lot of people's, the way they valued it or scored it. So good for him.
And great kind of a nice NFL career, too. Started a little bit with Denver.
Yeah, he did. I had to play against him twice a year every year when I was out there in Oakland for almost five years. But then it was who else was there? Anyway, he did a lot in the league, and then was a backup for a lot of years in the league, and that's
well. I'm sorry for coming after his commentating. That was wrong of me.
What was wrong with it?
He wasn't. He was just a little boring, a little dry. Yeah. But now it's time to do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
Yeah, I just didn't think he was great. I wanted to get the open in there, but I wanted to respond to you too.
I like Brian Greasy, but you like Bob and Brian. You like Bob better.
I don't know much about Bob. Bob played before I was alive, so I don't.
But as a commentator, is Bob?
I don't remember
significantly better than Brian.
I don't. I don't remember him as a commentator, but sure, I'll say yes, he was. Time's yours, brought to you by Xfinity Mobile, sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. The Wi-Fi is booming. Unlock faster, secure speeds at home and on the go, only from Xfinity Mobile.
Morning is 7:08. John Ritchie doesn't get the concept of what a teammate is. He's not supportive of Joe DeCamera unless Joe DeCamera has certain stipulations in why he's doing it. He's your teammate, John. Get on board.
Makes a good point. Get on board.
This is a Joe versus Jack.
Morning show versus afternoon show.
It's not morning show afternoon
that's
show.
That's what it's turned into.
It's Joe versus Jack.
No longer. Morning show versus afternoon show. What's next?
Well, listen, Tom Kelly, that's what I'm calling. You're trying to force Richie you're trying to bully him to unrecognize something that he learned a long time ago how to recognize, the fraud. That's what the camera is. He refuses to recognize the fraud as a teammate.
Now, do you endorse that? You endorse that? Wow. Him calling Joe a fraud?
Yes, I think it's a fraudulent claim that Joe says he's a better athlete than Jack Fritz.
Why do you think Jack's such a great athlete? I'm curious.
I don't, but I don't think Joe is a better athlete than Jack Fritz.
Okay. Oh,
I just love the concept of TK bullying John Ritchie.
Yes, that is a funny concept. What do we got next, Buzz?
Yo, we love, we hot. Shut up. Oh, and then you got Spuddy Keskin over there being a pitchman like Flavor Flav.
You had to say that three times yesterday, trying to get a chuckle out of somebody. Shut up. Time's yours, knucklehead.
Coming after Andy Depper. Yeah.
Caller on Andy Crime is fun.
And I can recognize that voice. That was Ron Imanco coming after him.
Who was it? Okay.
Ron Imanco. I believe so.
I don't think it was.
Maybe not. I think it was Ron.
Really?
I think
Ron,
so.
You think that was Ron Imanco?
I do. I think that was Ron.
I certainly think that was someone else we know, but not Ron.
I endorse Crime on Andy.
Oh, yeah. Deptford. Oh, totally. 100%.
Yeah. What do we got next?
The time's yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
It seemed pretty smooth.
He's late firing the first clip that I was going to let slide. And then, you know, you don't tell me how many we have. What are you doing in there, Buzz?
I know. Well,
you don't make the open for life advice.
I know. What a poor job I made today.
Yeah. Bad work by Buzz. What do you think, John? Am I being too hard on him?
I mean, talk about a bad teammate.
No, I actually, maybe. Why are you not more supportive? He's on our team. You can't say anything negative about Buzz.
He's your teammate.
Well, I've worked with Buzz for long enough. I think that's how you get the best out of him.
Don't you think you can challenge a teammate and say they're wrong?
Like, you can, sure.
Right.
But you got to understand, Buzz and I have an adversarial, tough love relationship. That's how we get the best out of each other.
All right. And I think I have a very similar relationship with Joe to Cameron.
But you're not trying to get the best out of Joe. You're trying to bring Joe down.
No, actually, I would love to get the best out of Joe because I've talked about the fact I think he needs to eat better and I think he needs to exercise and do all that stuff. Like, I really do believe that.
Yeah. I mean, I just get on his side. I'll have one more day to try to convince you tomorrow. Let's go to Sly in West Philly. What's up, Sly?
Hey, what's up, everybody? How you guys doing?
Doing great, Sly.
Yeah. The one thing I want to say about the situation with Joel Embiid, first of all, I think that the organization, to me, kind of is a train wreck just based off of the fact that I never thought that they would ever be rewarded for trying to deliberately lose for years at a time. And the person engineering it was a non-sportsman.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So
numbers guy.
A non-sportsman would not know to get Joel Embiid the best possible medical staff and all that. To me, Hanky was a person who had to tell. It was like an economics class. It was like widgets. He was like looking at it like, okay, I'm going to just draft the best, the guys that's rated the best, but not the guys best for this team. So I looked at it like they were never going to be rewarded for doing things like that, not for multiple years. But at the same time, from Joel Embiid's perspective, it's really still about basketball. That guy had a chance to really paint the narrative on his legacy just by performing well. And he's had multiple opportunities in the playoffs to do that. And because he's such a temperamental adult, you never know who's going to show up when it comes down to that. And I think that's the thing. The Sixers is up 3-2 against Boston. It's like, okay, where is he? He's supposed to be the best player on the court.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Sly, and I appreciate the call, man. But yeah, and I think that's kind of the thing when you look at Joel Embiid and you look at the history of him here, is the problem that I've had is just he's unwilling, it seems like, to take the criticism when you're the star mm-hmm. player. You're going to get the criticism, mm-hmm. bottom line.
Not easy in today's world to hear it coming from every which way, all day, every day.
But part of the job, man.
And I agree with you. But in reading this article, you know, we learned that there's a lot that he has trouble facing.
Right.
He's sensitive.
For a variety of reasons. Yeah, he's a sensitive, empathic person, and this is part of what makes him so interesting, but also it gets in the way.
Yeah, definitely. Final brief for our Twitter poll question of the day, sponsored by Arm & Chevrolet. Arm & is proudly celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive. ArmandChevy.com. Who do you blame for the Sixers' failures, Joel Embiid or the Sixers? John, where do you think this one came down?
Oh, man, everyone's so mad at both. It's really hard to guess. I'm going to say 45% say Sixers, 55% say Joel.
You've been way off this week. 79% say the Sixers are to blame.
Wow.
Not Joel Embiid.
Wow.
So that's the final tally for the Twitter poll question today.
I can't wait for the poll question after the Sixers funnel their response through some reporter.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
It'll be flip-flopped.
To see how this plays out moving forward here. But fun show today. We'll be back with you live from the Borgata tomorrow. Thanks to Vonnie. Thanks to Buzz for producing the show. Midday show coming up next right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.